That's me. Yeah. I'm the type of guy that when I sing, the angels weep. I want to thank you tonight, each and every one of you. First of all, for your love for the Savior. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love Him. And you wouldn't love Him if He didn't love you first. He found us. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I found the Lord. He wasn't lost. You're the one that was, He found you. You were the sheep that went astray. And He found you and brought you into the fold of God. I want to thank you for your love to the Lord. Your love to each other. It's evident, folk. Let me tell you. I get in a lot of churches all across America. Churches in the north, churches in the south, west, and east. I've been in churches in Europe, in Asia, down through the Caribbean. And I can tell you, I could tell when people love each other. Let me give you a real quick story here. I was preaching church in, I'm not even going to name the state, but it wasn't Michigan, okay? It was a missions conference, and I preached. We had a first-time visitor. Family came, dressed nicely, had King James Bible. Could tell they loved the Lord, good family. And they came, and I thought, oh, my, what a time for the first-time visitor to come to church talking about money and missions. But I went on, and God blessed. After the service, they met me at the door, and they said, we appreciate the preaching on faith, promise, mission. That's God's plan. They weren't offended by it at all. Then he went to the pastor and said, Pastor, and the pastor said, well, we're glad you're here. He says, well, we won't be back. Took the pastor by surprise. Really? He said, yeah, this church has problems. First time visitor? Didn't know anything? But you could sense the tension in the air. Thank God it's not like that around here. And I know you've come tired and you've come weary, but you still came with a smile on your face. And I think it's a whole new meaning to the verse of scripture that says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And you have endured. And I thank you for that. Tonight I kind of feel like that monkey that fell in love with the skunk. He asked the skunk to marry him. They weren't married very long before the monkey found out. While he didn't get everything he wanted, he sure enough got all he could stand. And I don't know if you got all that you wanted and anticipated, but I'm thankful tonight that God moved among us. Tonight's service, I don't know how long it's going to go, but it won't be because of the preacher. You'll see a little bit later. It won't be because of me tonight. Psalm 40. And before I do get to preach, I also want to make mention of all those that were so kind for us. Those of you who had us in your home, what a blessing. Took us out to restaurants. That was a blessing. And I'm overwhelmed tonight by your generosity and your giving. I don't think there's any millionaires floating around here. If I missed you, meet me after the service. But you gave from your heart. And it's my prayer that God would bless you tenfold because of your generosity. If not down here, then up in glory. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. So thank you. You've all been so kind, so good. And I want to thank, too, Brother Al and Sister Scotty for putting us in their home. I mean, two strangers moving in. And every day, I think they thought we got stranger and stranger. But thank you, folks. We appreciate it very, very much. Every church needs a couple like that. Not more than one, but... You could tell I'm not a guest anymore. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Our churches have many modern conveniences today. I preach in churches in other countries and in rural parts of America. They don't have all the conveniences that we have. I can think of a number of churches, they don't even have indoor plumbing, and they've got outhouses outside by the church. I asked the pastor, how does that work out for the church congregation? He says, well, they're too far in the winter and too close in the summer. I preach in church with kerosene lamps. There's no electricity. I think of a little old Baptist church in upstate New York. You walk in the door, you're in the church, that's everything you see is there, and that's it. Not a closet or anything. Just walk in, walk out. No restrooms, nothing. In or out of the church. Our churches have a lot of modern day conveniences. We have amplification, which is a tremendous help. We have electricity, which illuminates so we can read the Word of God. We have comfortable padded pews. But there's one thing missing. There's one thing missing in a lot of our good old-fashioned fundamental Baptist churches, and that is the old-fashioned testimony meeting. Now, I'm not talking about the type of testimony you just say, oh, preacher, let's have some testimonies tonight. Anybody got any testimony? Has God blessed anybody? Is anybody breathing? And timidly, some said, well, I thank God. He's been good to me. I said, no. I'm talking about the type of testimony their heart poured out. I'm not talking about airing dirty laundry of our life. But I mean from their heart, just poured out. David has given his testimony here. He loved to give his testimony. And his testimony said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I don't believe, in all honesty, I could have written that psalm. It's hard for me to be patient. I mean, I'm the type of guy, I want it now. Instant is not fast enough. But sometimes God teaches me to wait. He teaches me patience and understanding. And sometimes, folks, we just need to wait on God. You're anxious for that one to get saved. You're anxious for that trial to pass. You're anxious for that need to be met. Yes, I understand that, but leave it in God's hands. Wait patiently for him. And the result was he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. And then he thinks back and he says there was a time when my life was in a deep pit there, and it had no solid foundation, miry clay, slipping and sliding in the mud and in the mire. It was too deep. I couldn't climb out. It was engulfing me. And he said, he brought me up also out of that horrible pit. A hand with a nail print reached down and pulled me out. And then what did he do? He set my feet upon a rock. Not on a slippery slope to go back in, but the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is... put my feet on a solid rock. No wonder the world's crumbling. they have no foundation. They have nothing to live on and nothing to live for. Pulls us out of that miry clay, out of that pit, puts our feet upon a solid rock, and then establishes our going. In other words, God says, I saved you for a reason. I saved you for a purpose. I have a plan for your life. We mentioned that earlier in the week. God has a plan for every one of you young people, mom, dad, husband, wife. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how feeble you may be. God still has a plan for you. He's not done with you. And as we said earlier in the week, when you're done with work, where do you go? You go home. But we're not home yet. Why? Because our work is not done. And you could always be in the work of God in a matter of prayer. Not everybody can do a bus route. Thank God for those that do. Not everybody can direct a choir. Thank God for those that do. Not everyone can be in the choir. If everybody's in the choir, there'd be nobody to sing to. But God has a place for you, even if it's in that secret place. Do you remember? The secret place of what? Prayer with God. That's where the real powerhouse is. He established my goals. I'm not one who said, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to be in life? Oh, what career am I going to have? You live your life for Jesus. Let him establish your goings, and you will be in the will of God, and your life will be blessed. Brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and then notice, he put a new song in my mouth. I like that. I like songs about Jesus, don't you? I like songs, gospel songs. Before I was saved, I used to really like country music. Now, I like the country song. I still like banjo. You know, I like steel guitar. I like the violin. I like the sound. But when I got saved and I began listening to the words, I said, what am I singing that for? You know, such sad themes. You know, my wife left me with my best friend. My dog died, missed the train. My mother-in-law moved in. I mean, like, you know. And that's all they sing about. Problems, despair. You know, and somebody once said, remember a while back they had what they called that backmasking, where they played the records backwards, and they had supposed to have some type of secret message to it. But you know what happens when you play country music backwards? You get your wife back, your money back, your dog back. He put a new song in my mouth. I got something better to sing about. I sing about Jesus. I sing about glory. I sing about forgiveness. I sing about peace, the joy that's in my heart. Put a new song in my mouth, and many shall see it and praise God. He had salvation. He had security in the rock of Jesus Christ. He had guidance. He had satisfaction. Somebody once preached on this, and I know where I got this from. It says, he picked me up, he set me up, and he tuned me up. And how true that is. I want to look tonight of how the Lord brought us up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. First of all, that man that was in that pit got a healing. Not so much of the body, but of the soul. And Mark chapter number 2. Mark's gospel, the second chapter. And he entered into Capernaum. After some days it was noise that he was in the house. I like that. Make a lot of noise that Jesus is here. Make a lot of noise that the Lord is honored in this place of worship. Make a lot of noise that we gather together in the name of the Lord. It was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, no, Jesus, you don't understand. You don't understand. He can't walk. And we know that you could heal. We didn't bring him here for some type of spiritual service here. We want you to heal him. But what the man needed more than physical healing was spiritual healing. Jesus could have healed his legs and would have died and go to hell with two legs. What good is that? That's why every ministry this church has, and after passing out of those candy bars, you might want to start a Weight Watchers ministry. Like the sign in the church bulletin one day said, Weight Watchers, Tuesday, 7 p.m., please use double doors on the side. And you can start a ministry to feed the hungry, and that's good. And you can start a ministry there to help the poor and to clothe the naked, and that's good. But what good is it if they have a full stomach and die and go to hell with a full stomach instead of going to heaven? I'd rather go to heaven with an empty stomach than to hell with a full one. Yeah. He got a healing. That's what America needs. America needs a healing of the soul. Secondly, this man received help. Once you're saved, the battle's not over, is it? That's when it really begins. The battle starts up. He's going to need some help. In life, you're going to need some problems. What better person to go to than Jesus? He was called the man of sorrows. You know what that tells me? He knows how I feel. Folks, have you ever wanted to pray and you come to God and you say, Lord, God hears that. God understands the need and the burden of your heart. And sometimes we don't have the words, but God looks on our heart. And the Holy Spirit, our prayer intercessor, oh, what a study of Scripture that is, our intercessor before the Heavenly Father. Why can Jesus understand our problems? Because he was a man of sorrows, rejected, despised. As we said this morning, he did nothing amiss. There was a woman that was going to have an operation on her throat. She had cancer in her throat. Actually, in her voice box, and they were going to have to remove it. They told her, you will never say another word for the rest of your life. Just before they brought her to the operating room and gave her the anesthesia, performed the operation, they asked her, what are your last words? Think about it. What would be your last words? I got so many going through my mind, what would be your last words? She thought for a moment, and she lifted her eyes to heaven, and she said, my last words are, thank God, Jesus Christ. Put the mask. She never spoke again. Sometimes in the hardest times of our life, the Lord just seems dearer and nearer to us. We need help. And he's offering that to us. It's a tough world out there. You can't make it by yourself. You're going to need Jesus. And then this man got some hope. A car won't run without gas, and a watch won't run without batteries, and flowers won't grow without nourishment and sunshine. And a man cannot go on without hope in life. I was just reading the other day in the news about Robin Williams, some of you know him, ended his life tragically by his own hand. And I wonder how many today have come to the conclusion life is not worth living. Let me tell you this. As long as you have breath, you have hope. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It will come to pass. No matter how dark the night, keep your eyes on the eastern sky because the sun is going to come up in the morning. If you ever have any thoughts of taking your life, you better think again. Talk to somebody. Call the preacher. Call somebody. And get some help. Because your life is given to you by God for a reason and for a purpose. And you have no right to take it. Thou shalt not kill, meaning murder. And that includes yourself. This man got some hope in his life. I was preaching at a camp in New Jersey. If you drive Interstate 84 through Connecticut and New York into Pennsylvania, you cross the Delaware River. As you're going east to west from New York State into Pennsylvania, if you're not driving, look back over your shoulder and you'll see a little camp, gospel Bible camp up on the hill right under Delaware Water. Youth camp. One day, one week, one summer, they had youth camp. And it was a good youth camp. At the end of the youth camp, they had a testimony time. Almost every camp at the end has a testimony time. And they're always sweet. It's always good at that testimony time. And young people came up and said, I got saved this week. God called me to preach this week. I got rid of sin in my life. I mean, it's just touching testimony. Two girls walked down. They had a rope in their hand. One held one end of the rope. And the other held the other end of the rope. And they walked on. Everybody's watching them. And they came. And they came to a place where the microphone was set up. When they came to that place where the microphone was set up, they began telling their story. They said, this girl and I have very similar backgrounds. We were abused by our father, despised by our mother, rejected by the family. Nobody loved us. We decided to come to camp, and one night we were going to tie that rope around ourselves and go down to the Delaware River and jump in and die together. But the other night, that preacher stood up and he talked about a God that had a plan for our life. He talked about a God that had a plan for our living. He talked about a God that can forgive and restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And we saw that there was hope in Jesus and there was hope in God. And he took that rope and says, we won't be needing this anymore. And they threw it down. There's always hope if you look for it and look in the right direction. This man received hope. And then at the end of his life, he received heaven. I love being among you folks. I really do. My heart was challenged. My heart was broken. I mean, you think you were out there doing business with God? So was I. And God broke my heart. God showed me sin in my life. God showed me, oh, preacher, you? Yeah, I'm just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have a different calling than you have, but nonetheless, a sinner saved by grace with the same temptations that everybody else has in life. But I also have the same Jesus. And as much as I enjoy being among you this week, folks, you don't light a candle to heaven. But we walk on that street of gold, gather around the throne, casting our crowns. There's a great study for you sometime. Study the crowns of the scriptures. That's a great. What are we going to do with them? We're going to have a whole stack of crowns. Well, hey, look how many I have. Don't be like the Pharisees that enlarged their borders. Remember last Sunday in Sunday school? Don't be like, ah, look at all my crowd. Boy, look at what I... No, no, you know what we're going to do? We're not even going to keep them. We're going to cast them down at the feet of Jesus. I don't have... How embarrassing. That's how we need to be about our Father's business. Now, I asked the pastor for some liberty tonight. Honey, would you come to the piano, please? And he granted it. I started the message by saying that our churches are lacking the old-fashioned testimony time. I'd like to rectify that tonight. See, he pulled you out of a horrible pit, didn't he? He set your feet upon a rock, didn't he? And he established your going. Wouldn't it only be fitting and proper for us to vocalize our thanksgiving to him and praise to him? I did this only, I believe, once before my entire ministry. In a church in northern New Jersey. I said, folks, I preached to you. And it was an 8-day revival just like this one. I preached to you 12 times. That night, God would not give me liberty to preach. I had the message. I had no liberty to preach. And I said, folks, here's what we're going to do tonight. Now, God gave me some liberty tonight to introduce this. I said, folks, here's what we're going to do tonight. I said, I've set up here a microphone. And tonight, I'm going to ask you to do what David did and give vocal praise unto God. Some of you right now are cringing. And you're frightened, and I understand that. And it's not my intent to embarrass you in any way. But like I said, I don't want to be like that guy that says, I love my wife so much I almost told her. No, I want Jesus to know that I love him, and I want you to know it. And tonight, I'm wondering. You said, I've been drawn closer to the Lord this week. Can you give testimony? Now, folks, I'm not looking, and I don't want speeches tonight. I don't want long speeches. Just a word. Just a sentence. That night in New Jersey, I said, I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, this may be the biggest flop ever. And nobody's going to come. They're just going to sit there like, I don't need to get up there, and I don't need to tell people. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But by and by, as folks lined up along the side to come up to the microphone, one by one, they began just pouring out their hearts and God touched me this week. We don't want to know your sins. We don't want to know your dirty life. That's between you and God. But I think it's right that we give praise to God tonight. An 82-year-old man, name was Bob. He had a hard time coming up the stairs and sometimes we had to bring the microphone down for someone, and we'll do that tonight if necessary. And he came to that microphone, he says, I am 82 years old, and I've been in this church for 82 years. My name is on a crater roll down in the nursery. I grew up in this church, and tears running down his face saying, this is the first time in 82 years I ever gave public testimony. What will it be with us tonight? Can we end this meeting not by the preacher, but by you giving praise to God? Folks, you don't have to. I want to reiterate that we're not talking for speeches. We're not looking eloquence of words. Just to come and to stand and say, this week God touched my heart. This week, I walk a little closer with Jesus. I'm wondering tonight, would you stand, please, and look up this way? And again, I don't know what's going to happen. And my wife will tell you, I went back and forth. No, I'm going to do this at the invitation. No, 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 I'm not going to. No, we're going to do this at the invitation. No, no, we're not going to. No, we're going to do this. No, I'm going to go back to the first one. And because I'm frightened on this tonight. But I'm wondering, I don't care if it's just one that would come and would say, God touched me. I'm going to make it a little easier. Rather than on the platform, I'm just going to put it down over here. Be a little easier for some of you. But I'm wondering tonight, we're going to sing this song that we have sung, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And now, folks, in order to avoid mass confusion here, I'm going to ask if you will be willing tonight to testify of God's grace and God's goodness. That's all you need to say. I'm going to ask you all to come to one side of the building and make a line. I don't know where it's going to go, where it's going to end, or even if there will be one. And to come to this microphone and give praise to God tonight. And I'm wondering, would you be willing to do that? Here's the song we're going to sing. And if you're willing to testify of God's grace and goodness in your life, then you just form that line along this side of the building. Walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my prayer. That's right, folks. You just come. Daily walking close to. You said it's been a great week. Now it's time for testimony. It's time to give God the praise. It's time to give God the glory. And I'm going to ask you tonight, even as they're giving testimony, if you feel you want to come, then you just slip out and come. And folks, it's hard for some of these folks to come. It's hard. I understand this dear sister tonight. It's hard for her to walk. But if she can do it, why can't you? To give praise. Sister, we're putting you at the putting you right at the front of the line here tonight. You gotta love her, don't you? Just a brief word of testimony. Make sure they have volume on this mic tonight.
Folks, in your hands, please be seated.
Yes. Thank you,
brother. You know me.
Feel free to get in line.
And a few words. It's very hard for me, as you know. But this week of being here, praise God, I made 10 times. And also, just a little closer, I felt it in my heart that I myself became closer to my Lord.
Amen.
He is such a blessing. And I'm alone, live alone. Not really. God is with me.
Yes.
He is with me all the time. I couldn't make it. It's hard to live alone.
Yes.
But God is alive in my heart.
God bless you, sister. God bless you.
That's pretty short.
The thing that really blessed me this week was when Pastor Rich, he mentioned that like when we get backslid a little bit or whatever, to get back to the basics, you know, reading our Bible, praying, and going soul winning. And I found that I get really caught up in doing stuff here, whether it be youth group or different activities or whatever. I get caught up in doing stuff rather than being having a personal walk with God. So that's one thing that, you know, God really touched my heart on.
Amen, gosh.
Go ahead and eat the mic, people.
Right here? Same as Drake, God really touched my heart on not doing, but being with him in the secret place. You said something, having a place in your house where that's your spot, that's where you can go and be with God. And that's what God has challenged me to do, to not just, you know, not just read my Bible, but purposely have a place and a time set aside for him.
Praise God, brother. God bless you.